So how are we doing, CLCC? We doing all right? All right. It's okay. You can say yes. It's okay. You can be loud. I'm loud, so it's not a problem for me. You know, I got four kids, so yeah, my house is loud. I can tell you that right now. So you can give me a holler. You can give me a shout. You can say amen. Come on, brother. Preach it. Bring the fire. Come on, somebody. Aren't we excited to serve Jesus? I don't know about you, but I'm excited that we can serve Jesus because of so much that he has done in our lives, hasn't he? Think about it. I mean, just think about it. I mean, first and foremost, he died on the cross for our sins, and we can now have eternal life with him. We were all going to hell without that. Didn't matter what we did. Didn't matter what we tried to do. But because of him wanting a relationship with us, because of his love, we can now have eternal life with him. That's enough to be excited about, let me tell you. And then being with him in his presence here and now, that's amazing. And then leading someone to Christ, oh, that's a great feeling. That is a great, great thing. And I'd encourage you, if you've never done that, then you are missing out because there is such a joy there to be able to do that, to be used of him, to lead someone else to Christ, or even to, you know, even if it's not leading someone to Christ, even if it's praying for someone or letting God use you to do something awesome. Maybe it's healing. Maybe it's a prophetic word. Maybe it's one of the gifts of the Spirit. Maybe it's just being hospitable. Maybe it's just being that. But there is something inside that God smiles at, and such a great thing. There's nothing like it. Nothing like it. Am I right, church? Amen. Well, let's just pray right now. So ask the Lord to bless what he's going to do today. So, Father, we just thank you right now, and we bless what you're going to do today, Father, that we are going to be looking for what's the most important today. And, Lord, what's most important in our lives should always be you, first and foremost. Things happen. Seasons come and go. Different seasons of our lives, whether we're older and wiser, or we're younger and more zealous, or whether we're younger, we don't know what we're doing. Lord, I thank you, Father, that even through all those different seasons, Father, that you are the most important thing. And Lord, I ask, God, that I would communicate this message to your people clearly, and God, you would do great and wonderful things. I'm expecting you to move today. I'm expecting an encounter with you today, Father, because I'm sick and tired of presentation Christianity. I want you. I want the good stuff, Father. If I can't have you, then I'm wasting my time. And Lord, I know that you want to meet with us, that you want to have a relationship with us, and you want to have an encounter with us. Father, we ask for your presence to be here even more so than it is right now. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Father God. Inhabit this place in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Oh, dear Jesus. He's so good. So I'm going to talk to you about what's important today. What is important? Well, it depends on what season of your life you're in. Sometimes it depends on what's important in your life. I mean, really. I mean, when you're a child, different things are important. You know, you got your favorite toy. For me, it was my G.I. Joes. I love my G.I. Joes. Man, yeah, they were the bomb back then. I'm a 90s child, so that's what we did. So, you know, 80s and 90s, so that's what we did. You know, everyone else a little different now. They got different things now, but it was G.I. Joes and Ninja Turtles. What kung fu grip? Yes. You'd hit the little button in the back and they'd do like this. They'd chop. It was the amazing thing. But one of the most important things as a child growing up was going to the pool. Going to the pool. That was important. That was very important. We would go, living home in Martinsville, Virginia, we'd go to the Collinsville YMCA. And we would go there. And it was a big pool, big Olympic-sized pool. It was outside, it was hot, and, you know, Virginia gets hot down there. So we're just getting ready to go swimming, have a good time. Mom makes sure we have sunscreen on so we don't burn. And, you know, that's a good thing. You know, sunscreen is a very good thing to have. Just saying. And so we would go there, and we would get all sunscreen up, everything like this. But if we didn't have one thing, the whole trip was ruined. You're like, man, what's the one thing? Sunscreen's really important? You mean your glasses, your goggles, or your snorkel? Or no. You got to understand. the most important thing to having swim day was peanut butter crackers. Now, you laugh, and it's true, but peanut butter crackers were the best thing. And I'm not just talking about any, you know, like that, not like the ones you get in the pre-package. I'm talking about homemade peanut butter crackers. Oh, yes. And if you don't know what homemade peanut butter crackers are, then I feel sorry for you. You should come to my house. I'll make some for you sometime. But let me tell you how we make those things. You buy peanut butter, and it can be smooth or it can be crunchy. You know, it depends on what you like. And if mom got smooth, I was like, hey, that's fine. Smooth's my favorite anyways. Or if she got crunchy, hey, crunchy's my favorite anyway, so it's okay. You know, no problems. And then we would buy the peanut butter. And then we had to have a particular cracker to make homemade from scratch peanut butter crackers. You had to have townhouse crackers. The ones that look kind of like oval shape almost. Those were the best. Now, Ritz was good. Don't get me wrong. Ritz was good. But townhouse, homemade peanut butter crackers. And then what you do is you'd open up that can of peanut butter. Oh, it smells so good. Am I making anybody hungry yet? Oh, you're going to go home and want peanut butter crackers now. That's what you're going to want. Like, man, Van preaches something about peanut butter crackers. I got to get some. Oh, come to my house. That's right. Come to my house. Open up the peanut butter jar. Get a nice knife. Get the townhouse crackers smothered right on there. Put it right together like a sandwich. And then, you know, being in the 90s and 80s, we didn't have, you know, like those nice and Yeti coolers and things like that. No. We did tins. Oh, yes. We did the round tins. So we'd put a little wax paper in there, and we would put the crackers in a circle around there inside the tin. Mike, you take care. Love you, brother. I know you're getting some peanut butter crackers right now. You'll be blessed. He got hungry. So, I love you. So we'd put them in this big old tin, and we'd line them up, and then we'd put some more wax paper and put some more in there. So the tin was about this size, and then we had a whole bunch of peanut butter crackers in there. And so, as long as we had that tin, we knew everything was going to be okay. That was the most important thing. Because if you didn't have those peanut butter crackers, when the lifeguards would say, pull break, blow the whistle, everybody get out, you had nothing to eat. You had nothing to eat, and you were just sitting there waiting, which seemed like an eternity for kids, waiting for pool break to be over. And it's only like 10 minutes or 5 minutes, but it felt like hours. Let me be honest. It felt like hours. And so we'd be sitting there. But it would be okay if mom brought peanut butter crackers. It's like, all right, it's pool break. We can do this. We can go on. So we'd go there, get our peanut butter crackers. And by the time we finished them, pool break was over. It was amazing. So that's a little story in my life, how important things were in my time. Pool day was very important, but peanut butter crackers, oh man, that was the most important thing about pool day. So moving on, you know, teenagers have a different set of what's important, don't they? Don't you guys? Yeah, it's not peanut butter crackers, is it? It's not the G.I. Joes, is it? No, probably not. It's like, man, I want to get a car. Oh man. Get a car, that'd be nice. Or let's spend time with friends, you know, or maybe it's sports, or maybe it's just sitting home listening to mom and dad reminisce. Oh, come on. That's not the truth. That's not it. That's not what's most important. So teenagers, it's gonna be a different time. Different what's important. Now, early 20s, you know, if you're going to your 20s or later 20s, it's maybe getting that great job, getting that promotion. Starting that 401k, you know, building up your credit or something like that. Or maybe it's even getting married, you know. A lot of things are different between what's important between being a child and being in your early 20s. Or maybe it's past. Maybe we're talking to the later years. You know, the gray hairs are starting to set in. The wisdom years. Oh, no, it's okay. It's okay. It's the wisdom years is what I call them. The wisdom years. Wisdom years. It's a good way of putting it. The wisdom years. And maybe in those wisdom years, maybe the most important thing is starting off right, having a good BM, like my grandmother always said. My grandma always said it's always good to have a good BM in the morning, Van. Start the day off right. That's what Grandma Hussey used to say. And if you know what that is, ask one of the older, wiser people that are here. They'll tell you what it is. Maybe it's seeing your grandkids. Maybe that's what's important. Or maybe it's getting onto the golf course because you're retired. You're like, man, I can't wait for my 9 o'clock tee time. So it's kind of funny what's important. But the thing that should always be most important and forefront, no matter what season's going on, should be God Himself. That is the most important thing. And it doesn't matter what season you're in, whether you're younger or a little older or in your wisdom years, whatever, wherever you are, the most important thing is having that relationship with Jesus. It says in Matthew 6:33, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." We have to seek Him as the most important thing in our lives. As long as we're seeking Him as the most important thing, other things will line up. So you might ask me, Van, how do I keep holding on to the most important thing? Because there's a lot of, life happens. Life happens. I mean, heck, we had COVID this last year. We have different things, presidential election. We've had all these types of different things happening and, you know, in our world, and everything's going on. Schools, kids, masks, everything. There's been a huge shift in everything we've done in our lives. And joblessness and different things going on. But we can stay with Him being the most important thing. So I'm going to give you 4 points. 4 points on how we can keep holding on to what's the most important thing. So number one is we press on towards the goal. Press on towards the goal. No matter what season is, we can always press on towards the goal. It's all about relationship. If you want to boil it down to one word, instead of press on towards the goal, it's all about relationship. And what Paul says in Philippians 3, 13 and 14, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Paul was talking about going to heaven, going, pressing on towards it. And you know what heaven really is? It's not some place where we receive wings or, you know, harps. No, it's not that. It's not some nice place up there. I mean, it is nice. But the greatest thing about heaven is the ultimate relationship with Christ, with nothing holding us back. No limits. This frail body is gone. Your spirit is there. Wouldn't that be wonderful? That is awesome. You get to stand or fly. I don't know if you fly, you know, maybe that's in there too. I don't know. I've never been to heaven yet. I'll let you know sometime. But it's amazing that you can just be there in the Almighty's presence. No hindrances, nothing. He's just right there, and you're right there with Him. Come on, somebody. That's awesome. So we press on towards the goal. Number two, we keep the main thing the main thing. You're like, okay, yeah, sure, Van, I got you. Okay, keep the main thing the main thing. Yes, keeping the main thing the main thing. And by that, I mean focus. We have to focus. In Daniel 6:10, it says that now Daniel learned that the decree had been published. He's talking about the decree where if you were praying to anybody else but King Darius, you'd be thrown into the lion's den. He went home to his upstairs room where the window opened towards Jerusalem. 3 times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God, just as he had done before. Focus is what keeps God important to us. Because we can, I mean, let's look at Daniel's time was riddled with all types of different rulers, things going on. He was in captivity. There was a lot of things going on. It wasn't all nice and easy for Daniel, nor for the Israelite people. And even though this decree happened, and it was from government, Daniel still stayed focused. And because he stayed focused, God was able to deliver him when he was thrown into the lion's den. So we have to stay focused. Number three is don't grow weary. This is tough. Don't grow weary. Perseverance is what I'm talking about. Paul says in Galatians 6:9, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." Come on, somebody. How many of y'all been praying for something and you haven't seen it yet? Yeah? Yeah? I agree. I have. But if we don't give up, we're going to reap a harvest. I remember sometimes in my walks with the Lord through different seasons, He'll put somebody on my heart and I'll be praying for them, and they'll just keep, and I'll just be, and just, it won't let up. It won't let up for that season. I'll just keep praying and praying and praying. And there was this one guy that I was praying for when I was in my younger years, when I was a teenager and early adult. I just kept praying for this guy because I knew he wasn't living with the Lord. And I was like, just kept praying. I was like, God, you've got a call in his life. You've got these things going on. I know you've got a great destiny for his life. And so I would be praying for, and it was for a season. It wasn't for like the next 5 or 10 years, but it was probably for about a year, year and a half. I think maybe about 2 years. And I kept praying and praying and praying. And wouldn't you know, the man that I was praying for, I wasn't the only one that was praying for him though. Wouldn't you know that that man that I was praying for, I was able to go down last year to his church where he is a senior pastor and be able to pray over his church and be able to pray with him. Come on. Seeing God do great things. So don't grow weary in well-doing. Perseverance. Now, number 4. Now, this one can be tough. This one's almost even tougher than number 3 at times. Wait on the Lord. That can be tough because we live in such a hustle and bustle society. We've got Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, email. Nobody has a home phone anymore, hardly. Except Jack, but I love you, Jack. It's okay. I love you, Jack. It's okay, he does. He does. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm sure he gets like 500 calls saying that his insurance needs to be updated or something like that. I'm sure, you know. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Jack has 5 home phones. That's my fault. I don't know what you need 5 home phones for, but bless you, Jack. Bless you. So, 5 home phones. Wow. But waiting on the Lord. So this is tough. I mean, with all the hustle and bustle of where we are, microwave mentality, we want it now. 2 minutes, boom, dinner. 3 minutes, boom, dinner. You know? It's just so much going on, but we have to wait on the Lord. Another, and what I mean by wait on the Lord is rest, but not sleeping. Not sleeping. I'm talking about rest as in submitting, letting go, or surrender. That's what I'm talking about when I say wait on the Lord. And that's tough. And the hardest part of doing that is sometimes during the good times. Not necessarily the tough times, because the tough times, when you have the tough times, you're like, okay, God, I need you. And you're kind of crying out and becoming more desperate for him at times. And there's sometimes where we forget and see what's, we ask God, what are you doing? But it's sometimes it's really tough in those good times. And we seem to be like, hey, you know, car's paid off. Bank account's looking pretty good. I got a few extra dollars in my pocket. Everything at work's going well. I just got a promotion. Now, it's those times where it's tough because things are going good and you don't really desperately need God like in this last year with what's been going on. It's like, God, we need you. God, we need you so bad. But then when things kind of let up and things become a little bit easier, it's like, oh, okay. Maybe I don't need God as much. Isn't that true? It's true. Let's be honest. It can be. I know for my life it's been like that at times where I haven't been as desperate. I haven't been as going after his presence. I haven't been going after him, making him the most important thing because things are kind of good. Things are kind of good. We have to make him the number one priority. It says in Isaiah, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint." Come on, somebody. Wait on the Lord. Whether it's good times or bad times, we have to wait. We have to go after it. I mean, making God the most important thing in our lives is critical to our relationship with Him. We need to make sure we stay focused with Him. We need to make sure we persevere with Him. And we have to make sure we wait and rest in Him. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. And I would rather be a doorkeeper in your house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Psalms 84:10. Better is it being a doorkeeper in your house than the tents of the wicked. Being in His presence, being with Him, making sure He's number one is the best thing and the best place. So I've got a challenging quote for you, though. You know how I love my quotes. This one is a challenging one. So are you ready, church? You ready for this one? This is going to hit you. It's going to hit you good right here. Straight from the throne room. Are you ready? All right, here we go. Challenging. If you give God only the scraps of your life, you will receive only the scraps of your destiny. Come on. If you give God only the scraps of your life, you will receive only the scraps of your destiny. God has a destiny and a plan for each and every one of us, and He wants to bring it to fulfillment. But if we're only giving Him portions of our lives or the scraps and not the main course, not the first fruits, if we're giving Him only that stuff, then we'll never be able to walk in the destiny that He has for us. Come on. I don't know about you, but I don't want to give God the scraps. I want to give Him all. I want to give Him all. I want to see God use me in great and many, many, many wonderful things that He can do. God wants to use you to do great and wonderful things. The power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells inside of you. Inside of you. And the better that we realize that, the more comfortable that we get there, then we can realize that we're a walking atmosphere. And what I mean by that is, wherever we go, His presence is with us to change the atmosphere where we're in. It's not just here in church. Here in church is a wonderful atmosphere, and I pray that it continues to be a great place. But I want to see us as individuals walk out with that same atmosphere. Because wherever we go, there's where God is, and we're advancing His kingdom. Amen? So today, I want to set a fire today. I want to challenge you. I want to encourage you. I want to provoke you to make God the most important thing. And you might be saying, man, well, I have made Him important in my life. And I would say, good. Don't stop. Keep going. Or you might say, man, this last year has been a rough one. I've been down. I've had things come up. And I need more of Him. And maybe you're not walking as close to the Lord as you used to. Today can be the day that you set your feet strong again. You can set your feet on the rock, which is Jesus. And you can go forward from this day on, knowing you're making Him the most important thing in your life. Regardless of whatever else is going on in the country, whatever else is going on in your family, whatever else is going on inside of you, you can make Him the most important thing. I want to challenge you to do that this week. I want to challenge you to do it from going further from this message on. We've talked about a lot of things today about God, about going after Him. Go after Him. What's holding you back? Nothing. Don't let anything hold you back. Don't let it do it. Because if you're letting things hold you back, you're giving Him the scraps. If you're letting things hold you back, you say, well, God, I'll give you this portion, but not everything. You can have this little portion. And the portion that you give Him, He can only give you so much back. If you give God only the scraps of your life, you will receive only the scraps of your destiny. I want His full destiny for me. I want Him completely. Because I want to see Him use me to do great and wonderful things. And in that, it's amazing. So I want everyone to stand, please. And we're just going to enter into a time of worship just for a few minutes. And if that's been to you, if that's been your heart today, you're like, God, I need more of You. I've made You the most important thing, but I want to keep going further. Or maybe it's been like, God, I'm not as zealous for You. Or I'm not as hot on fire for You. I'm more lukewarm. I need You. Please forgive me. Or maybe you've never experienced God. And you're like, I heard about this guy by the name of Jesus who died on the cross for my sins 2,000 years ago because He loved me. But I never really accepted Him into my heart. I never really asked for a helper to come along, a partner to help me. This could be your day for all of those things. I know in my life, I want to go deeper in Him. I want to experience more of Him. So during this song, I just want you to pray in your own way as we all are worshiping. Pray in your own way. Ask God what you're looking for. Whether it's a deeper, or whether it's being back on zeal for Him, being zealous for Him, or if it's like, God, I need You in my life. Forgive me. And come into my heart. Because You have great things in store for me. Amen. Stacy, if you wouldn't mind. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord. Lord, You are so good. Lord, we want more of You. Set our hearts ablaze for You, Father. That we can't control. We've got to have more of You, Jesus. We are desperate for You, O God. Desperate for You to move. Father, when You move, oh God, things happen. Things change. Prayers that we've been praying for are answered, Father. The loss of are coming to know You, oh Jesus. Circumstances are changing, oh Father. Healing, miracles happen, oh God. Lord, we want to see them in this house. We want to see them in our lives, oh God. Whether it be at the grocery store, at work, or in this house, Father, or at home, it doesn't matter, Father. We want to see You move. We cry out for You to move, oh God. We want more, Father. Lord, we're thankful that You've came. We're thankful that Your presence is here. But God, there is so much more that we can have from You. That we've only scratched the surface. Would You come, oh God? We make You the most important thing, oh Father. We don't give You the scraps. We give You the full course. We give You the main dish, Father. We give You the first fruits. Jesus, would You come? We invite You into our hearts. We invite You into our lives. Father, we're sorry for giving You the scraps. Father, we want to give You everything. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Father. We worship You. We praise Your name. You are so good. You are so good. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. So, Father, as we head out today, Father, we thank You that You gave us this word, not to tear us down, not to make us feel condemned, Father. But Lord, You give us this word to encourage us, to spur us on, as iron sharpens iron. We thank You, Father, that You love us and You want to be with us, God, more so than we want to be with You. You want to be with Your children. As a parent longs to be with their child, You long for that. You long for us to spend time with You. Father, I thank you that today we change and we put you as the most important thing. We reinstate you as the most important thing in our lives. And we thank you that our lives are going to be different moving from this day forward for that. That we're not going to receive the scraps of destiny any longer. That we're going to receive your full destiny that you have for us. And the full anointing and power that comes with that. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name and amen.